This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Tuesday, July 16th. Good afternoon. Thanks for listening. I'm Judson Richards in for Rob Hart. Well, shoe and maker New Balance is partnering with the WNBA. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, research shows that workplace engagement is now longer, trending up as it has been for several years. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern right here in Chicago. Rick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. What's behind the increase in worker detachment? It seems like more people are phoning it in.
Well, we've had a long run with COVID. We've also had significant turmoil in terms of economic indicators. Are we inflation? Are we in a recession, et cetera? And I think people are worn out. They've also got, there's a lot of exhaustion around the idea that you have to, you want to work in the office, then you have to leave the office. You can't go back to the office. And now there's a hybrid opportunity, or there's a back to work a certain number of days out of the week. And that really overwhelms the actual job that you're doing on a day in, day out basis, because it's really hard to kind of figure out where you're at and what you're doing and why.
Rick, this term is somewhat new to me. What is coffee badging and why are employees practicing it?
Sure. So coffee badging is when you have a hybrid work environment where you have a responsibility to be in the office a certain number of days a week. And so the employee can effectively come in, meet with a couple of people, have a cup of coffee, talk about things. It's badging in, but it's coffee badging, meaning you're badging in, you're having a cup of coffee. You're probably not doing a lot of productive work because the commuting time there and back and connecting with the people that you see in the office that you don't normally see probably takes up the bulk of the time that you're there.
So what are the primary distractions that are affecting worker productivity today?
Well, one of the things that's happened is the work is different. I mean, work is now very much mental. There aren't, manufacturing jobs, even manufacturing jobs have some thought process behind it. But a bulk of our service, we're a service industry economy, and with a lot of data entry and access to systems and software. So what that means is the brain's wiped out. I mean, there's been study after study that said the human brain's good for about 4 or 5 hours of deep concentration in the course of a day. And we also have a default mechanism in our brains to try and avoid work if we can. That's just who we are. So when you get someone who's got a job they've got to do where they have to think for extended periods of time, 40 minutes to an hour, and you get a text, you get an email, someone stops by your cube to say, hey, by the way, wondering if you want to go get lunch today, et cetera. Every time there's an interruption, that's a huge disruption to deep concentration, and it takes anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes to get back in that mode. So, 5 or 6 interruptions during the course of the day, and if you're not working a 10-hour day, you're not going to get that 4 or 5 hours that you're trying to get done.
Rick, are employees prioritizing, when it comes to, we hear this term a lot, right, the work-life balance and flexibility? I think people outside of the country may think that we lean heavier towards career progression, but do we feel a little bit more like it may be more about life balance as opposed to just the work part of it?
Well, there's a disconnect there, and depending on the company, one of the things that we have to also identify is 80% of the United States works in small companies. So I think that the issues that we address when we have these conversations are really about bigger jobs. You're at a Fortune 1000 company where work-life balance, because it's clear that the company, by the way that it's structured, is there to increase shareholder value, to become more productive, et cetera. And that path to the top of the ladder, if you're an individual contributor salesperson and you're working towards. When you become a sales manager and you realize you don't like that job, so I think people now are beginning to think about, okay, what is it that I'm doing and why does it matter? And when you go home, as we did during COVID, and you realize I'm missing my children grow up, I'm missing time with my partner, I'm spending a lot of time on the train or in the car commuting, it forces you to look at that stuff. On the other end of it, companies have to pay attention to the fact that employees want a reason to work, and part of that is to develop, to become better at what they do, to feel like they're making progress, and to get recognized for the work that you do.
Rick, thanks so much for your time. That's Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern, right here in Chicago. Coming up next, the WNBA has a major new partner. We'll have the details there.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, New Balance has signed a multi-year deal with the WNBA. Let's discuss that agreement with Jennifer Water, Chicago-based business reporter. Jennifer, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. It appears to be a smart move by New Balance to tap into the growing popularity of women's sports and the WNBA. Would you concur that this has been a good move by New Balance?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, New Balance is just trying to get in on the game with them. And that pun was intended, because you've got a lot of major sponsors. They're kind of jumping in. They've got other major sponsors that WNBA has that include like Adidas, Nike, Puma, Under Armour. And, you know, this is such a, you know, the WNBA is such a hot commodity right now that getting in on it and what appears to be kind of the ground level of this surge of popularity is a smart move. I mean, you think about how Nike did it with, Air Jordans in the 90s and really brought sports apparel and, you know, shoes, certainly sneakers, certainly into mainstream and even into pop culture. And if it's New Balance or if it's anyone else, maybe Nike too, can do this with the NBA, you know, it could be a winning brand.
What kind of impact will this move have on the popularity of the New Balance brand? And I would venture to guess that their big investment, they think, is in young women and girls.
Yeah, definitely. They talk a lot about how they're aiming their brand at elevating women's sports and starting with young girls too, you know, as well as women. But they're really looking at how this can let me back up a second. This is a 118-year-old company, New Balance, and it's always kind of been known for running and maybe some tennis and things like that, but never really big performance shoes like basketball. So they're really trying to get into that whole sports mentality part, and this is going to help them do that, you know, opening up the doors with the WNBA. I mean, think about the WNBA. They get about 1.2 million viewers per game. Compare that with the NBA, which is about 1.6 million. So this kind of growth for the WNBA, if you can hang on to that, you know, you can do great things.
Yeah, and I know New Balance leans heavily on Kawhi Leonard, right? That's probably their biggest star in the NBA. How does Cameron Brink, a star in the WNBA, feature in New Balance's strategy?
Well, Cameron Brink was the first woman basketball player they ever signed. They did that for her last year when she was still at Stanford. And she's out for the season right now because she's got an injury. But they really plan on using her to appear in a number of campaigns that will be about performance, you know, shoes and such, but then also lifestyle. And then they're also going to integrate her into like footwear and apparel design teams. So, you know, and again, I'm going to go back to Air Jordan, which Nike made a killing off of Air Jordan, continues to, too. In fact, now it's called the Jordan brand. And if you can, you know, and Michael Jordan was very integral in all those shoes and things that came out. So if you can get somebody like Cameron Brink to kind of help propel that in the women's sports, it could be a big win-win.
Jennifer, I know you may have just touched upon this, but just the broader strategy of New Balance that they may be hoping for by partnering with the WNBA.
Well, they want to increase their brand image from just a a running shoe or a walking shoe into a more of a performance shoe. And so you get that kind of thing going on with someone like her, because she can really help do that. And it's part of their whole broader strategy and just building their whole brand across a bigger audience, you know, besides those who just run. You know, and I mean, if you can create a shoe that like an Air Jordan is, that becomes part of pop culture. And when you, when you think about what people pay for Air Jordans and then what steps they go to get like vintage Air Jordans, if you can set the groundwork for that right now, this is going to be a brand that this is going to be something that can help propel your brand for the next couple, 3 decades.
Jennifer, thanks so much. Business reporter right here in Chicago, Jennifer Waters. Coming up next, why the physical wallet may be an endangered item.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, as digital wallets become more common, physical credit cards are becoming less necessary. We're joined by Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst of Bankrate.com out of New York. Ted, thanks much for your time today. How are digital wallets reshaping the future of payment methods and consumer behavior among younger generations?
We're seeing this in a few different ways. Your phone can be your wallet in many respects now, when you think about loading credit and debit cards in there. Also, increasingly, things like driver's licenses and proof of car insurance, some states are allowing that now. You know, we could also be talking about smartwatches. Really, the most futuristic aspect of this is some of these pilot programs that involve scanning your face ID or handprint or an eye scan that can prove it's you that way. That stuff's a little more futuristic, but as far as the phone being the wallet, we're kind of already there in many respects.
You know, we have that saying, right, can you Venmo me that, which speaks really well for Venmo, the app, because they've kind of moved into our language. Is there something similar digitally when it comes to a digital wallet that is being used more so than anything else, any other apps or such?
There are a lot of so-called super apps or companies aspiring to do that. You know, Venmo would be part of that, and their parent company, PayPal. We could also talk about companies like Apple that have built out a suite of financial services. So they make the physical phone, but they also have Apple Pay, and they have a peer-to-peer payments version. They have a savings account. Cash App is another one that's built out a whole suite of services, including peer-to-peer payments, but not limited to that. Like, they have a physical debit card. They can help you do your taxes. I mean, there's all kinds of different applications of this. And then there's all the traditional banks, too. What's notable about digital financial services, in the U.S. at least, is that even as this new stuff gets introduced, the old stuff doesn't necessarily go away. And also, even when tech companies get involved in U.S. finance, it's within the traditional rails, like the Apple credit card. That's a MasterCard. It's not like in China, where social media companies have kind of circumvented the payment system. In the U.S., it's kind of a new application that runs on the old rails.
Finally, how are traditional financial institutions adapting to compete with fintech companies in meeting the evolving needs of young consumers?
There are a lot of partnerships. So unlike that China example, where companies like WeChat and Alipay, like, they've really taken over the payments landscape, in the U.S., when Apple or Amazon or another company like that, Google, you know, when they get into finance, it's usually the partner model. So Apple partnered with MasterCard and Goldman Sachs on a credit card. Amazon has partnerships with Chase and American Express. Even new-ish kind of things like Buy Now, Pay Later, which is another interesting example of digital financing. Companies like Affirm and Afterpay and Klarna, a lot of the traditional credit card brands have their version of that, such as Amex Pay It Planet and My Chase Plan and things like that. The traditional players aren't going away anytime soon, but they are finding ways to adapt.
Ted, we appreciate your time. That's Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst of Bankrate.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Judson Richards in for Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Evacuations are ordered due to a dam collapse in downstate Illinois. The Republican convention in Milwaukee is being closely watched overseas. And in Travel Tuesday, we identify some of the best hotel chains for people traveling with a pet. Also, Brookfield Zoo is set to undertake a major redevelopment project. WBBM Business. The Dow is up 562. S&P is up 14. And the NASDAQ is down 40. As I mentioned, heading up to a high of 86 today, but right now 80 degrees. Mostly sunny skies at 12:30. While people in the downstate Illinois city of Nashville are being told to leave their homes due to the failure of a dam. Cameron Bopp is with CBS 4 in St. Louis.
Again, this is Nashville, Illinois, Washington County. It is a rural area, but we do know that the evacuations are impacting several homes and businesses in this area. In fact, there are several closures of interstates and highways and streets in this area as well.
State, county, and local agencies are coordinating the evacuation effort. A shelter has been set up for displaced residents. Political events in Milwaukee are being closely followed in Europe.
Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban, a Trump and Putin ally, has told the EU's leadership that Donald Trump will make brokering a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine a top priority if he's reelected in November. Orban met with Trump at Mar-a-Lago last week. The EU has shared the current U.S. position of supporting Ukraine's increasingly desperate battle against the Russian invaders. EU leaders are well aware a reelected President Trump would likely want to pull the plug on much, if not all, U.S. military aid. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Markets are trading mixed, and joining us on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, Jim Welsh of Macro Strategist and Portfolio Manager, MacroTides.com. They're in beautiful, sunny San Diego, California. Jim, thanks so much for your time. It's a big day for the Dow and S&P 500. What's behind today's rally on Wall Street?
Well, the main thing, Judson, is a continued rally in all the cyclical stocks, which up until last Wednesday had underperformed and lagged badly behind the semiconductors, the mega cap stocks, and so forth. And so that was triggered by the CPI report on Thursday, and then led to the belief that Fed rate cuts are coming sooner rather than later, which would be beneficial for the economy, and those stocks that are cyclically and exposed to the economy would then thus benefit. And so we're seeing a continuation of the move that started last Thursday after the CPI report.
Solid earnings from both Bank of America and Morgan Stanley. What is behind the strength in the big banks?
Well, the belief also is if the Fed lowers interest rates in coming months, that will be beneficial for the banks and increase their interest rate loan margins. So that is the logic. So it's tied again, Justin, to the CPI report last Thursday.
Jim, another bright spot is retail. What's your takeaway from today's retail sales numbers?
They were healthy. You have to kind of look under the surface to see that. But the reality is the consumer continues to spend, as we've seen over the last weekend, record number of people flying around the country. So the consumer is hanging in there. And the one worrisome thing is, but it's a little bit off in the distance, we have seen the unemployment rate begin to creep higher. I think that's going to continue. But in the near term, the retail sales number, Justin, reaffirmed the idea that we don't have to worry about a recession. And then that's, again, another thing that's beneficial for the small cap and cyclical stocks.
You touched on this, but maybe just to elaborate, what's the biggest threat to stocks right now?
I think the biggest, well, near term, it's hard to think of something, quite honestly. I think the biggest risk is down the road a piece. I think the economy is going to slow more than expected as we end this year. And if that does come to pass, the premise of, hey, we can buy cyclical stocks because we don't have to worry about a slowdown, obviously would be challenged. But that is one reason why in yesterday's weekly technical review, Judson and I expected that after a pullback, which I think is probably coming pretty soon, in some of the cyclical stocks, we're likely to see another push higher. So the bigger risk is out a few months.
A lot of investors are watching the Federal Reserve to get clues on future monetary policy. What are your thoughts on the Fed?
Well, the Fed is looking, and Jay Powell kind of touched on this. Inflation has obviously come down. He noted that the unemployment and labor market is the tightness is easing. And I think that's what's going to push them to move sooner than later. In the sense that if the unemployment rate ticks higher, they'll have even more confidence that inflation will work its way down, because higher unemployment means a slowdown in the economy. So I think that's going to be their focus point. And I do think the odds are very high that the Fed will lower the funds rate at the September meeting, but not at the July meeting.
Jim, finally, we're always looking for a good deal. You see any parts of the markets that are cheap right now?
I continue to believe Treasury yields are going to come down, Judson. I've been recommending TLT, which is related to the Treasury bonds. And so to me, that is my take again, is that we're going to see the economy slow. The Fed is going to be cutting rates, and that should be a tailwind for Treasury yields coming down, and it'll give TLT a boost.
Jim, thanks so much for your time. As always, that's Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com out of California. Coming up next, in Travel Tuesday, the best places to stay if you're bringing a pet with you.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, it is Travel Tuesday, sponsored by Pre-Flight Airport Parking. If you're bringing the family pet on your next trip, there are certain hotel chains you may want to stay in. Let's get some suggestions from Juliet Huddy, travel vlogger and curator at JetSetJulietTravels.com. You can find her at JetSetJulietTravels on social media. Juliet, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. What are the first things you need to consider when choosing a pet-friendly hotel?
Well, there are actually a lot of things. Number one, is your pet even viable as a traveler? Luckily, about 75% of all hotels now allow pets, which is up roughly 15% since COVID. And that's good because a lot of people are taking their pets with them. If I could bring mine, all four of mine on vacation, I would. The problem is that I've got two of them are not quite there yet, I guess you could say, when it comes to socialization. And this is the kind of thing that we really need to consider before we even think about bringing our pets on vacation. Are they up to traveling? Are they up to date with shots? Can they be left alone in a strange place? So if you're good with those, the next thing you need to do is consider what happens when you arrive. Does my hotel accept pets? How many can I bring? Is there a limit to the size or the breed? And are they allowed to stay alone in the room? And most importantly, is there a pet fee? The answers to these questions are going to steer you towards the right hotel. Now, I did a lot of research on this because I was thinking about taking my dogs until my one dog freaked out and we couldn't do it. But these are my top four pet-friendly hotel picks. If I'm traveling with my pets, these are the hotels that I'm going to check out first. Overall, by far, like leaps and bounds ahead, the clear winner is the Kimpton Hotel chain. Now, there are 75 of these upscale boutique hotels around the world. You've got one in Chicago, London, Paris, I mean, all over the States. You can bring as many pets as you want. Doesn't matter what kind they are, as long as they're legal and they can fit into your room. So if you have a horse, probably not going to happen, or a giraffe or an elephant, not going to work. But dogs, cats, iguanas, whatever. They also pamper your pet with welcome kits that include, like, you know, treats and foods and beds and bowls. And they even have a director of pet relations at some locations in the larger cities. And the best thing of all is that there is no pet fee. That's a huge deal, Judson. So to me, this is like the Shangri-La for pet-friendly hotels, the Kimpton Hotel chain. So keep that in mind. The second one is Virgin Hotels. Now, this is I love Richard Branson more than I can possibly tell you. There are eight properties of his, including Chicago, New York, and a couple other tourist attractive cities like New Orleans, Nashville, and Vegas, and then some in the UK. I think there are like three in the UK. Virgin Hotels offer pamper kits like Kimpton. There's no size or breed restrictions. You can bring them into public areas on a leash. You can bring them to the rooftop restaurant, and no fees at most of the properties. You need to call ahead, but most of the properties, you won't have any fees. The next one is the self-described dog-obsessed Stay Pineapple Boutique Hotel chain. There are only 10 of these hotels. They're in all major U.S. cities, including Chicago. The reason that I put them third is they do offer pet pampering kits like the others, but there is a two-dog limit, and they do charge a fee at some locations, including Chicago. Chicago, it's actually $30 per night. Doesn't matter. You can have two, I think, but $30 per night total. But there's also a pup package that gives you half off if you go on their website. Their pet policy uses the phrase traditional pet. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I lived in Miami. A lot of kids had iguanas, so I don't know if that's traditional, but you may want to call ahead about your pet, whether it's a cat or an iguana or whatever. The final hotel chain that I want to talk about, Judson, is Hyatt Hotels. They get points for having the most hotels that accept dogs, cats, and other pets. Like, I think like 90% of their hotels accept pets. Unfortunately, the policies are all kind of all over the place in terms of the limiting the breed type, the weight, and how many you can bring. Also, Hyatt's fees are like, I think, the second highest of the hotel groups, right behind Marriott. But here's the thing. They make up for this with some of their properties being like over-the-top, crazy, awesome, pet-loving. There's one, actually, it's in Mexico City. It's the Andaz, which is a Hyatt property. Has the rooftop beer garden with craft beer for you and your pet, plus a pet playground. I mean, there are lots of boutique hotels around the country that have this type of stuff and around the world. The Park Hyatt's pet fee in Chicago, by the way, is donated to the Paws Animal Shelter here. So, I mean, that's great. So the bottom line is, in addition to the chains that I mentioned, once you know where you're going to go, just Google the best pet-friendly hotels at that destination, or you can honestly just email me at juliet@jetsetjuliettravels.com, and I'm happy to help, no charge. It's my pleasure.
That was absolutely everything that you needed to know. Juliet, thanks so much for your time. That's Juliet Huddy, travel vlogger and curator at jetsetjuliettravels.com. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday, and still to come, ambitious plans for a makeover at Brookfield Zoo. All the details there coming up.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Brookfield Zoo Chicago in the western suburbs is undertaking a major redevelopment. Let's learn about it from Dr. Michael Atkinson, president and CEO of Brookfield Zoo Chicago. Dr. Atkinson, thanks so much for your time today. Exciting things for Brookfield Zoo Chicago. Tell us what we need to know.
Thanks for having me on today. It's a really exciting day for us. We have been working on this next century plan for around a year, and to be able to roll it out to the public today is very exciting. We're looking at an investment that will reshape nearly 100 acres of the zoo's property to better support our efforts to conserve wildlife and protect natural spaces, and really looking to create some incredibly dynamic, immersive habitats for our guests to experience as they come to the zoo and really see wildlife in a completely new way.
My family and I, we do have a season pass. How will the redevelopment impact the visitor experience and the animal conservation efforts happening now?
So we're really looking for that guest experience to make it even more magical, to make it more of an immersive journey that you go on as you come through the zoo, so that you'll see animals in different places. We'll have more mixed species spaces, where one time you might see a giraffe in an area and the next time you come you may see a rhino. So more closely replicating that experience of being out in nature and going on a safari or on a trek and discovering wildlife along your way.
And how is Brookfield Zoo funding this enormous, ambitious project you're undertaking?
Yeah, so this is a big project for us. We're looking at this as a 15-year campus plan with a vision that projects out almost to 30 years. And it'll be a mix of private philanthropic fundraising with some public support as well.
Dr. Atkinson, thanks so much for your time today. That's Dr. Michael Atkinson, president and CEO of Brookfield Zoo Chicago. Again, you'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural?
or unexplainable?
Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.